doing pretty well. Moving through the month of August, taking a look back. Sure. Busy month.
Very busy month. We had a birthday.
Yeah, 42. Go figure. And my son turned 5. That was the more important birthday in my house.
That's the one that was celebrated.
Yeah, that's the one. True. Yeah. That is exactly how that went.
Just saying.
It's almost like you've been down this road before.
I think I missed 14 now. Yeah, so.
Right. Good.
But go ahead.
Well, but August. I mean, what a tremendous month. And I'm not talking for birthdays. I'm talking for volatility and stuff. So might as well jump right in.
Yeah.
Right.
How did it look?
Yeah. No,
I mean, so. On the surface, if I just told you where we started and where you finished, you'd be like, I'll take that.
Yeah.
But I tell you, the ride we had through it was really something to witness. So anyway, getting down to the two major indices that we look at, just as kind of a touch point for portfolios, S&P 500, top 500 companies in the U.S., as measured by market cap. Remember I said that because we're going to revisit this later. Measured by size, that's market cap. The S&P 500 was up north of 2%, 2.4%, looking at the month
moved
of August.
Moved ahead.
And go figure, bonds another month where they actually delivered a positive return along with stocks. The aggregate bond index is just going to be a basket of bonds. Was that up over about 1.5%, 1.49% for the month. So feeling good. And you're starting to get this hookup where bonds are actually offsetting some of that stock market volatility. This has not been a factor for a long time. We're going to get into that a little bit later, but that's kind of where the market's landed for August.
So diversifying is kind of kicking in a little bit, maybe.
It is, and you know, we always say leaning into the turns.
Yeah.
It's starting, you know, I guess you got to do it first, but we do that, right? And so when you can express things that work in the portfolio, we chalk it up as a win.
So do we lean in or out in the portfolio if we're looking at those?
Let's just say we were prepared for some of this paradigm shift. And again, it's all time-stamped. You go back and just listen to some of our past podcasts, and you would see that we were starting a transition from that growth heavy portfolio. We're starting to lean into some value-oriented portfolio positioning. We actually picked up some interest rate sensitivity and the bond sleeve of the portfolio as well. And that was all in anticipation for some of the events that did play out in August. You know, we try and set up for high probability outcomes, and I think we did a pretty good job with that.
Those earnings pop up too, right?
Yeah, and so getting through the month of August, we kind of wrapped up the S&P 500 earnings season. And we'll touch it with this. Not a lot to write home about. When you look at the earnings beat numbers, they were a little soft, but then revenue growth came in good. So those two kind of, you know, one was a little bit soft, one was a little bit firm. They kind of net each other out. So we can just say, okay, got through the earnings for the second quarter of this year, and not a lot there.
Yeah.
So anyway, we just keep pushing forward.
So we kind of talked about the market, and hey, you know, we see like the beginning of the month, end of the month.
Yeah.
A lot happens in between.
Oh my gosh.
I think that you touched on the volatility, but I guess even more specifically, you know, what's not normal? You know, when we're looking at things throughout the month.
Well, what's not normal is, again, this level of volatility. And let's just set the table here. Our July podcast, we did touch on the conditions were starting to ripen for that volatility. And boy, did it reach a fever pitch in August. We saw the month start off, the first three trading days, S&P 500 dropped 6%.
Right.
6%. Mm-hmm. Remember, we finished positive. So what does that mean it did? it then reversed that entire downtrend and tacked some on, all in one month. I mean, it's just wild. Okay, that's the S&P 500, large, well-established U.S. companies. But let's take one of those companies out. And because I want to stay on good terms with our compliance department, I'm not going to name any names here. But let's talk about a $2.5 trillion market cap company. So one of the largest companies that exists out there in the world. And it starts the month, drops 16%, then jumps 30%+ into the end of the month on a $2.5 trillion market cap. That's not normal.
Right.
That's not normal. So something is going on. Something is happening. Something is playing out. And I think that we've got some answers.
Yeah.
And I think those answers were prevalent even before kind of we saw this heightened volatility. So you can go revisit our July podcast. So anyway, that is not normal. When you see that level of volatility, you really, really need to sharpen the pencil and understand what's going on.
Yeah. That's what they got us.
Happy to do it. Yeah.
Well, Ryan, we got a short public service announcement. Next week, Wednesday, September 18th, Ryan here is going to be a special guest on Wood TV 8 in Grand Rapids, Michigan, discussing elections and, you know, election policy and how
election.
That might shift to the markets. Okay. Yeah, we do have an election. It's coming up quick.
Yeah.
And so, Ryan, what are you going to be talking about there?
Yeah.
Can we get a little insight?
Well, number one, thank you for that acknowledgement. Now the pressure's even, higher to perform. But, you know, what they're going to get out of me, I think, is probably not what they expect. You know, to just step in and say, well, traditionally speaking, in an election year, you would see this. Also, by the way, you know, don't worry about which, party's elected. They both give it. No, that's not me. And if you haven't picked up on that already, you'll figure it out soon. What we're going to talk about, what I plan to talk about, is the construct of portfolio out the other end of the election. Recognize this is not one party wins, we go to cash, the other party, we're all in. No, no. What this is the infinite game that we play that is long-term investing. And in that infinite game, we're always wanting to gain the edge. We just need a little edge, and you will benefit.
Right.
The edge is gleaned from understanding and having a disciplined approach to your portfolio exposures. What's the right risk to take in that environment? The election will deliver to us what makes sense in portfolios. And so that's going to be the focus. You heard it here first. They're not going to get a drop on what our audience
needs
to do. Yeah, a little bit. So that's where we're going to go with it. And that really will be where we can gain an edge with the catalyst that is an election.
Absolutely. Well, and again, elections, fiscal policy, that certainly shapes economic outlooks and how we're shifting into portfolios. But on the other side, there's monetary policy and what central bankers might do to influence, you know, economic policy.
Right.
And we had a meeting in Jackson Hole here in August. These Wall Street goes out, takes off their loafers, puts on their cowboy boots,
yeah.
Gets away from everything. But Ryan, what did we find out from Jerome Powell in that meeting?
Yeah. Well, it might have had something to do with all this volatility. I'm convinced that data gets out these days before the actual announcement to the general public. Now, I could do a whole discussion on just that and why I think that, but the bottom line is we heard a lot of what the market expected and kind of built in. Now, the way that markets move anymore, you've got to understand that so you can get a drop and get that edge.
Mm-hmm.
Markets move way quicker than they ever have and sooner than they ever have from my perspective, historically speaking. A lot of that has to do with the 24/7 news cycle. And I believe that our systems are just looser and looser. So, you know, again, that data gets out there. What did we hear? We heard policy is going to pivot. Monetary policy is going to pivot. It's time, is what Jay Powell said.
Mm-hmm.
It is time for monetary policy to pivot. What is he saying? He wants to lower interest rates.
Right.
Okay? That's pretty clear from that messaging. Now, there's going to be a lot of people who take that, prognosticators, market prognosticators, and say, well, what he really means is this. No, 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 no. I think the best thing to do is take him at his word.
Yeah.
Almost make something so simple and straightforward. What a noble concept. But the bottom line is he wants to take interest rates down. Why? Because you're starting to see some weakness in the economy. And it's really a focus in on the jobs environment, the employment situation. And so, you know, a Fed would cut rates to offset weakness that's kind of in the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we heard. You know, they were loving their cowboy boots.
That's
what I
maybe
understand.
Doing some fly fishing.
Yeah,
yeah, but
something like that, getting out in the mountains.
Well, and, you know, the last few months we've talked about be careful what you ask for, what you wish for. Right. And as, you know, we see this interest rate world we live in changing, how does that going to impact the markets? How is that going to impact portfolios?
Right. And this will be a really quick one. Back in a prior life, when I had actually time to, you know, go skiing or something out west, and I actually had the legs and the physical conditioning to do it, right? I went to Jackson Hole. It was with some friends of mine from where I went to college. And I'll never forget flying into that airport. And it was a snowstorm, small airport, and all of a sudden the pilot said, we're doing getting ready for landing, the descent in. And all of a sudden, it's a snowstorm outside, boom, we're on the ground. And I thought, what is this? It's the elevation at which that airport's at. Very cool experience, I'll never forget it. But one of the things that strikes me is that when a plane is cruising altitude, and then it starts to make that descent in, and the pilot says, buckle your seatbelt up. It's for a reason. Mm-hmm. When you're changing that altitude, you are going to experience turbulence and bumps. When you see the environment changing in the marketplace, in the capital markets, it often comes with that same kind of volatility or pressures that you experience transitioning through altitudes. And it's just, again, that movement through. And so that's kind of where we come out of this thing. And again, what I'm talking about with this idea that the data is so early and the markets move so quickly, it was already playing out kind of late July, early August. We heard from Jay Powell August 23rd. Right. So anyway, it's a transition. Take him for his word. He said it's time for monetary policy to pivot. Now, it's been kind of neutered over time. Fiscal policy, we really need to keep an eye on that one. Yeah, but anyway, that's where we're at. Yeah. It's a big deal.
And you've kind of touched on it as we've moved through this podcast. Yeah. But if we kind of go back to the volatility or even veracity of markets, you know, what can we do or what are we doing to make sure we're, you know, maybe even take advantage of it, be prepared for it? Yeah. You know, we know that it's going on. We see it in our statements day to day. But
sure. So I think that what you have to look for here is kind of this multi-factor approach to portfolio management. It's certainly you need to understand that macro, I would say economic environment, but that's not prudent, that macro market environment. Mm-hmm. Because the economy and the market aren't the same thing. Right. They're cousins. Macro market environment, what works in that environment, and then the machine, the execution. We need to understand that that volatility creates an air pocket where there's inefficiencies in the market. You're probably not doing much in that time frame. You're trying to see this brewing to a degree and either executing before or waiting for it to calm down and executing after. So it's, you know, you used to be able to do okay seeing the world one-dimensional. Now we need 3D.
Yeah.
So anyway, we had to devise a system, but we've got it. We feel comfortable with it. And, you know, it's moving along.
Yeah. I mean, and we're on top of it. Yeah. You know, we got lots of eyes on there. So as we look ahead to September, right, you know, what might be on the horizon, what they're talking about. We've talked a little bit about Jackson Hole. We've talked a little bit about rates or maybe even policy change.
Yep.
You know, what do we see for even the shorter term, end of September? What's it kind of lurking?
Well, you guys have been paying attention for years. I mean, what do you typically see in September? Just
everybody's back.
Off the cuff. Yeah, right. Okay. There's something to
right,
that.
There is, right?
Everybody's back. Yeah. You know, hey, we've got, this year at least, we've got the election
Rounding up,
and we've got the debate coming up, and so we'll be able to hear more on policy changes and how that might shift or change, and how we can dive into what we need to do.
I love it, because guess what? September breeds volatility, as if we needed any more of that. But like we've been talking about, things are expressed in markets sooner than they ever have been. We've been watching for 20-plus years. I mean, if you combine all of our experience here, long time. But the bottom line is September is traditionally ripe for volatility, and it has a lot to do with that. You know, after Labor Day, everybody comes back to their desk. These hedge fund folks from the Hamptons are now focused on what's going on rather than what the beach day looks like.
Yeah.
So oftentimes positioning changes in portfolios on the backdrop of everything else we got going on.
Mm-hmm.
So be prepared for volatility, but portfolios are structured in a fashion right now that we're prepared. So recognize we're prepared for what's expected. Anything happens outside, we call these tail events, tail risks, things like that. We can adapt. We are very quick to move these days, as you probably see. But that's how we can give you that edge.
Yeah. Well, we'll stay nimble. We'll stay on top of it, and we'll see everyone next month.
Sounds great.
All right. Absolutely. Thanks for joining us.
Yep. Thanks for joining.
Advanced Capital Management Incorporated is a registered investment advisor. Information presented on this program is believed to be factual and up to date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend